The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. When it was evening, on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my fingers in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hand. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Where do you find the peace of Christ? Is that a question you think about very often? Where do you find the peace of Christ? Now, on Sunday mornings, it's part of our liturgical actions that between the section of the Word and the section of the meal, after the prayers, we share the peace of Christ. But I think sometimes we don't remember what a powerful, powerful greeting that is when we reach out to one another and we don't say good morning or hello, how are the kids? But we look each other in the eye and we say, "The peace of Christ be with you." Do you know that that is as much of an Easter greeting as the words, "Christ is risen"? Because when Jesus shows up after the resurrection, that's his greeting. Three times here in this short Gospel of John, post-resurrection, Jesus shows up. Three times, the greeting of the risen Christ is, "Peace be with you. Now I imagine there's a whole lot of context there that we can't even quite absorb. I mean, think about those disciples locked away in the upper room. I don't doubt they were exhausted. You know, that first Easter night. They'd been through the Last Supper. They'd been up most of the night with the trial of Jesus, the crucifixion of Jesus. They saw Jesus die. And they knew who killed him. And they were scared that they'd be next. And they were hiding. And they'd heard some women that morning say, "Well, but he's risen. Remember when he said he was going to rise from the dead after he was crucified? Well, he is. He's risen." But they didn't know whether to believe those women or not. And in fact, back in that day, and this is really important, back in that day, women weren't valid witnesses to anything. If you went to court, if there was a woman that was an eyewitness to something, it didn't matter. She was a woman. She can't be a witness. And so you hear, you know, in the Gospels, these women told us this thing, but it seemed like an idle tale. Well, sure. We saw him die. And so the disciples are locked up. And they're tired. And they're scared. And they're defeated. I mean, imagine. They followed Jesus. From day one, when Jesus said, "Follow me," they all followed him. There's a cross there. From day one, nobody ever questions the fact that when Jesus said, "Follow me," each one of his disciples just picked up, left everything, and followed Jesus. And they thought he was going to bring something spectacular. Maybe even overthrow the Roman government. Bring back another kingdom like David had. And then he was crucified. And all of those hopes were shattered. They're probably a little angry, too. Like that other thief on the cross that said, "You've saved others, why can't you save yourself?" Don't you think the disciples were thinking that too? "We saw you raise Lazarus. We saw you raise that little girl from the dead. We saw you heal the sick. How could you not avoid the cross?" But of course, they didn't understand yet that the cross was critical to the story. Tired, scared, defeated, angry, and of course, sad. How can you lose a beloved friend and not be sad? And those of you who have known grief, those of you who are grieving, know that I can name 5 emotions, and you know that there are 25, 30, hundreds more that you can't even identify in the moment. And so here are the disciples locked up. And Jesus shows up. And the greeting of the resurrection is not, "Ta-da, I'm risen!" But it is, "Peace be with you." Because this story isn't what you think it was. This story is far more profound, far more universal, far more global than you can ever imagine. And certainly more so than what you saw on Good Friday. Now the 11, for whatever reason, they got that message on the first Easter night. And Jesus breathed on them. He gave them his Holy Spirit. And he said, I send you. And he gave them the office of the keys. You know what that is from confirmation class, right? The power to forgive. In the name of Jesus. Jesus said, if you forgive anyone in my name, those sins are forgiven. Why would that be the first power he gives at the resurrection? Think about it. They had a lot of forgiving to do. But as Jesus forgave those who were nailing him to the cross at the time they were nailing him to the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. This is the key element of our Christian faith. And if we can't grasp that, we miss the bigger story. Forgiveness is part of the peace of the risen Christ. Forgiveness is a key element of the Christian character. And when we can't forgive, we won't know the peace of Christ. But here we are, a week later then. And you know what? Jesus has breathed on the 11. He's given them the office of the keys. He said, just as I am sent, you are sent. They're still locked up in the upper room. Make no mistake. They're still hiding. They're still scared. But now they're with Thomas. And Thomas didn't get the greeting of that first Easter night. I don't know. Nobody knows where Thomas was. Tradition calls him Thomas the Late. He was late. He missed the message. But here's the beautiful blessing that Jesus gave to Thomas. Of course, he arrives and he says, peace be with you. And Thomas says, no. Kind of like Jacob in the Old Testament, when he wrestled with that angel. Thomas said, I'm not going to believe it's you until I experience the touch, until I know it's you. And Jesus says, touch me. Put your hands here. Feel the wounds. These are the wounds of Christ who died for you and is risen again. Put your hand in my side. Feel that wound. The touch of Christ. Still heals. Do you remember when Jesus was ministering those years after he told the disciples to follow me? It's all over the Gospels. Jesus came and touched them, and he said, get up and do not be afraid. Matthew 20, moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes. And immediately they regained their sight and followed him. Mark 1, moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I do choose. Be made clean. Mark 5, she had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and just touched his cloak. And she was made well. Jesus 8, they came to Bethsaida, and people brought a blind man to Jesus and begged him to touch him. Mark 10, people People were bringing little children to Jesus in order that he might touch them. Luke 5, Jesus stretched out his hand, touched the leper, and said, "I do choose. Be made clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Luke 8, the woman again. Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" Well, of course, the woman who touched just the hem of his garment was healed. In Luke 8, Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I noticed the power going out from me." And even the final healing of the Gospels. When the disciple cut off the ear of the Roman slave, Jesus touched him. He said, "No more of this." He touched his ear and healed the one who came to have him arrested, came to have him killed. It's not just the greeting that was that blessing for Peter, but the touch of Christ. Brothers and sisters, we have that touch. Just as we can share the peace of Christ, just as we have the Holy Spirit of Christ that propels us to leave our locked places and go share the good news, we have the touch that makes the presence of Christ known. I'm going to tell you a little bit about this touch, because I think you all understand it at whatever level you're at. But as a pastor, I can't tell you how many times I've been at a hospital bed. And I've reached over the railing and taken someone's hand and prayed with them. And most of the time, I feel like, you know, I know they're grateful for that. But last week, when I was on the other side of that railing, I had a couple clergy friends come and pray with me. And when they were there, it was nice that they chatted with me. But when they reached for my hand, I reached back and I said, "Pray with me." And in that touch, I felt like the woman who reached out to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. That the touch attached to that prayer was so powerful, was such a gift, was such a conduit to the risen Christ. It was remarkable. We have that for each other. When we have a healing service, we always either hold hands or maybe hold hands and also mark the sign of the cross on you. That power of touch, that conduit to the risen Christ, is a powerful thing. When we pray with each other one on one, we reach out, we hold each other's hands. And in doing so, we are reminded that Jesus says, "Where two or three are gathered, I'm there." When we hug and share the power of the risen Christ, Christ is with us. It is the power of Christ's touch, a holy touch. The peace of Christ is not just a hello and a good morning. The peace of Christ is the power of Christ in us that propels us to share the good news, to leave our places of fear and sadness and hiding, our places of defeat and anger and fatigue. The peace of Christ propels us with the good news that no one ever needs stay locked up in those places. Jesus said it before he was arrested, and it's repeated again in 1 John. We are writing these things so that our joy might be complete. May the power of the risen Christ bring you peace. May it give you the ability to forgive when you need to. May it surround you with an awareness of the presence of Christ and surprise you with joy. Amen.